The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Continuing our discussion about what happened in Coolock, and I'm joined now by Dublin's Lord Mayor, Fine Gael Councillor James Gagan, and by criminologist Trina O'Connor. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Pat.
Lord Mayor, first of all, what is your reaction to what happened in your city?
Well, I think they're shocking scenes, and I think, like most Dubliners, we're appalled to see that level of criminality taking place anywhere. And I think it's important to point out that this was criminality. This was not a protest. These were people hell-bent on causing property damage. They were hell-bent on attacking Gardaí, who were simply doing their job. And they were even hell-bent on trying to attack the fire brigade, Dublin's fire brigade, who'd shown up to put out the fires. And I think all of us collectively across Dublin City are appalled, just as we were on the 23rd of November in Dublin City when the Dublin riots took place. But what I would say is that I think what was in marked contrast really in what took place on that date is that the Garda response yesterday evening was commendable. They had the situation under control relatively quickly by having a significant police presence there. And then our court system reacted swiftly after that with 15 arrests made, and the district court was ready and open to deal with all of the arrests that had taken place. And that's the kind of swift action that is needed to tackle all forms of criminality. And I must repeat again, this simply was not a protest. What was taking place last night were crimes, was thuggish behaviour, and it was tackled with the way it should have been.
But there is a resistance in the community to a huge asylum centre, and there are people who were protesting, as is their right, about that. Now, what happened and how it was hijacked by so-called right-wing interests, I'm not sure, and whether or not there were recreational rioters, as you'd put it. You know, it's a summer's evening, nothing to do, there's a bit of action down at the old factory, let's have a go. I mean, how do you understand what actually happened?
Well, I think the reality is that there have been a number of protesters sitting outside of this location for weeks or months in advance, even of the local elections, in relation to the proposed centre on this site. And look, all across the country, there have been challenges in certain locations when new centres are put in. Some of this is in relation to legitimate concerns as to how the local community infrastructure can sustain an increased level of population. And then others is related to misinformation and disinformation about the category of person that is coming to the area, and fear-mongering in relation to that person or those group of persons that are coming here. And I think the reality is that we need a joined approach. And that is, in fairness, what the minister has tried to do and what the department have tried to do, certainly in the last 6 months or so, is they've tried to tie in a community integration piece where new centres are being established. They've brought in the local authority, including my own and Dublin City Council, to ensure that there is a lot of community engagement to avoid situations like took place last night.
Do you think that Dublin City Council and On Board Planola can wash their hands of what goes on? Because I have a text here which I will read to you, and it really says it all about the haphazard nature of our planning. I live close to the area of Coolock disturbance and was saddened to see the violence that took place yesterday. My query is why the government wants to build what will be an eyesore in the area if they proceed with a modular build. The area is already suffering from much dereliction. The Tato site and the Chivers Jam Factory are also derelict sites and are situated adjacent to the protest site. The investment in the area needs to be managed properly to make it a place that people feel proud of. There was much promise over the years that the nearby Northside Shopping Centre would get a major overhaul. Instead, the minimum spend was made and it was clad in an unsightly grey facade. The tower blocks on the Kilmore Road are largely derelict now and a terrible eyesore. The new flats on Bonratty Road are very welcome and a much-needed addition to the locality. But much more investment like this is needed. There are no cafes or restaurants in the area, for example, to meet friends. The old village, which had some architectural high points, such as the community centre, has now got a huge new block of flats stuck right in the middle. How can this happen? Areas such as Stardust Park are no-go areas. The park has never grown into the facility it should have been for the local community. There's a dearth of facilities for young people. The homeless hub around the corner from the disturbance was supposed to be a temporary facility, but is rooted in the community now. No facilities for children within this hub. In short, what I'm saying is that the town planning has never been managed properly in the case of Coolock. The proposed centre for asylum seekers is just another imposition on a community which feels neglected. I don't say this lightly, but I don't think that the way the village of Coolock has been treated would be allowed in the south side of Dublin. It's regrettable that leaders in the community are the thugs leading the protest rather than the more measured voices. And that's from Mary. So, Lord Mayor, what do you think of that? I mean, the planning, plonking blocks of flats where they're maybe needed, but certainly not appropriately placed.
Yeah, well, what I think is that Mary clearly is a measured voice, and we have to ensure that the measured voices come to the fore and that the local leaders and local councillors who are the measured voices, that they are the ones that we're hearing from and not those that are trying to stir up hate and to stir up unrest. And like, that's what we really have to do here. We have to support those who champion their community, who want what's best for their community, and ensure that their voices are heard in all of these processes. And I have heard this refrain about there's no accommodation centres for asylum seekers in South Dublin. Like, look, I represent Dublin Bay South, and there's three or four or five different centres, and it's not just families, it's single males as well. I've been to all of them. I've met with the residents, and I've also met with a lot of our existing community that engages with the residents. And in every location that you'll find where there are centres like this, yes, you may find some protesters in some of them, but in every single one, you're going to find a local authority community officer who's engaging both with the existing residents and the new residents, and you're going to find volunteers who are equally doing both. So what we have to do is get the balance right. It can't be the case that communities have no say whatsoever in their own area, in their own locality, in their own village. Of course they do. Of course they have to be directly engaged with. And where communication has gone wrong or engagement has gone wrong, people should be brave enough to put their hands up and say, well, what more can we do in these areas? But that doesn't provide an excuse or a justification for the kind of violence that we saw last night, nor does it provide a justification or excuse for race baiting or for essentially othering people simply by virtue of the fact that they're from a new community. Because that is not just damaging to asylum seekers who are coming to this country, but it's damaging to every person of the 128 countries that exist in Dublin.
Can you tell us exactly what is proposed for the Crown Paints factory? How many people will be there? And what will the makeup of that?
¿Estás pensando en tus vacaciones soñadas este verano temiendo el costo? Con iBora recibes reembolsos en todas tus compras. Así puedes tomar más tiempo creando recuerdos este verano y menos tiempo soñando hacerlos. Ahora mismo, iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por probar iBora usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve a App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play or App Store y usa el código La Música.
Population B, will it be families? Will it be simply single males or what?
Well, it's the department, as you know, that are responsible for the allocation of asylum seekers.
But surely they have to liaise with the Dublin City Council if it's in your...
Absolutely. The approach that they adopt is that they will, in advance of the centre opening, they will provide information to the Dublin City Council Community Office, and then they'll provide information to the local councillors and the local TDs and senators.
Do they not require planning? Anyone else who will want to do anything like this would require planning. Do they not require planning from you guys?
Well, when you say you guys, in terms of...
In the council.
If they are trying to reconstruct a building, or if they're trying to amend a building, they're subject to the same planning regulations that every other ordinary planning applicant is subject to. And equally, I've heard, you know, people saying that they don't need a fire certificate. Like, that's absolutely wrong. The fire officer must ensure that every single new premises that is being established it complies with fire regulations.
So what have they applied for?
What's the live plan?
What is the planning application for the Crown Paints factory?
I don't believe there is a live planning application in relation to the Crown Plaza. What there is an application from the Department of Integration to house asylum seekers. A mixture is what they have told local councillors. So it's not just single males. It's a mixture of males, females, children, I understand also. And so that is what is currently planned. That is what is currently envisaged. And to my knowledge, there's no live planning application in relation to what they're doing. But obviously, if anything came under the planning domain, they'd have to do it like any other ordinary applicant. And that's the case in respect of lots of other premises across the country, where if you need to change your building or change the use of your building, you must comply with planning regulations. There's no evading that. And most importantly, there's certainly no evading of fire regulations when it comes to the fire officer. Right. And again, that's misinformation that you often hear put out there.
James Gagan, Fine Gael councillor, Dublin's Lord Mayor, thank you very much for joining us. Listening to that, Trina O'Connor, criminologist. Good morning, Trina.
Good morning. How are you doing, Pat?
Now, you've heard the comments from our listeners. You've heard what the Lord Mayor's had to say. You may even have heard Henry McKean reporting on his experience of the riots yesterday. What is your take on all of this?
I suppose one of the things that is really clear to a lot of people is that there really is an absence of clear and correct information. And in the absence of that, others will fill that void. Even there, like when you were talking to the Lord Mayor, while I agreed with most of what he said, I still think there's a fumble there on what exactly is going to happen in that site. And I think the community that are concerned need to know what the community gains are, because Coolock is not a racist community. They've been very welcoming over the years. There's a really diverse community here. But I think we need to look at the community development. We kind of have to go backwards, Pat, a little bit and look at community development. So as opposed to creating new communities who are going to live in silos, we need to talk about this integration piece and what exactly does that mean. So we need to have public meetings. So as soon as a decision is made in whatever area around the country that they're going to put one of these centres or they're going to make changes to a community centre or whatever it is, there needs to be access to that information by the public. And I understand the communication strategy is to go to local councillors and that kind of thing, which is a really good strategy, by the way, because you're dealing with people that can give correct information.
Now, however, Trina, in terms of what happened, the rioting, and what I suggest might be for some cohort in that rioting group last night, a bit of recreational summer evening rioting, for want of something better to do. And then there are those who obviously deliberately foment the violence there. And then there are people who are caught up there who are just making their own voices heard in protest and got involved because the thing escalated.
Yeah, absolutely. You're correct. And we're seeing it around the country. And that's the interesting thing, Pat. We know this has the potential to happen. So this is where we're missing a trick. And the guards haven't come in heavy handed, and rightly so. Criminal sanctions should definitely happen. The problem is that then undoes any of the good work that's been done in terms of community relations between An Garda Síochána and the community. So we're missing the trick of getting in there in early intervention. And that's where we need to build like community resilience to young people, for example, being groomed and almost radicalized by some of these groups that are being involved in this kind of violence. Because for many young people, the stress that they're living under and the deprivation that they're living under can make them, I suppose, really vulnerable to all of this racist online baiting, because we are seeing a lot of false stories being fed to people using algorithms online. Even some of the footage from last night, Pat, I was watching it and I saw one incident being reported on two different types of sites. One was untrue and one then was saying that the guards were involved, say, in setting fire to a car themselves. But if you went onto another site, you actually saw the footage of young people setting the fire to the car. So you can see how things can be clipped and changed, and then it grows legs and then people add their own commentary. Yeah. I also was witnessing people who were live streaming from the UK, massive Union Jack behind them, and they were also making really negative commentary about An Garda Síochána. So there's a lot of online stuff that's going unchecked, and that's why we need open public meetings. And some of these people can be difficult to get them to engage, and they're the people that we actually need to engage, because we need to provide extra resources so that we can challenge these false stories and false negatives with facts. And that's how you build community resilience and develop the community.
Triona, thank you very much for joining us. Triona O'Connor, a criminologist. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place. You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.